Yes, indeed. You need a big voice on a hot summer day. Hello and welcome to this edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us. Big week in Kansas City. I won't do too much ad-libbing. Lord knows I do enough of that. As you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, a community radio station right here in Kansas City. It's Fringe Week, so I shouldn't say too much because we have a lot of people to work in during this first hour. Cheryl Creamy is with us. As well, she is the executive producer of the Fringe Festival, now in its 13th anniversary. Welcome back to the show, all 13 years, I think.
Yes, thank you, Michael. You were the very first radio interview I did 13 years ago.
Yeah, it got better after that, I'm assuming. Got much better after that.
That first year was rough.
It's grown every year since then. Yes. You have grown to, 450 performances, 100 artists, 17 venues. It's been amazing.
It just keeps getting bigger and better every year.
Yes, and probably more hectic for yourself every year.
No, we actually have a lot of long-standing volunteers who know their job, and each year gets smoother and easier.
Well, that's good. Save you from medical problems along
the
way.
There
we go. Really would. What would you like to say before we get into the folks here?
Well, first of all, this is a big year for Fringe. This is the 70th anniversary of the Granddaddy Fringe Edinburgh. It started in 1947 and erupted spontaneously in Edinburgh when they did an arts festival to reunite Europe after the war. And 8 local artists that weren't invited because they weren't traditional set up stages on the perimeter. And a reporter said there are far more interesting things happening on the Fringe than Fringe was born. It is now the single largest arts festival in the world. And we're part of that huge worldwide family.
You can see the schedule for Fringe at kcfringe.org. Performances begin, at least some, on the 20th. And run through the 30th, 11 days. Just quickly, you can get tickets ahead of time. You can get it at the venue, but you need a Fringe button.
Yes. So go to the website, kcfringe.org. You can see a PDF of our program there, and then we'll be listing where you can pick up your programs. But start figuring out what you want to see and where you want to go. Thursday night, well, we'll come back to that in a minute, but you can get buttons at Union Station, our 411 office. Our general information and ticketing is on the theater level at Union Station. You can buy buttons there, tickets there. You can buy tickets online. You can go to the venue half an hour before each show, buy tickets there, and get buttons at every venue.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about, so
yes.
Let's get in. This is just a small sample, but Shay Ketchum is with us. She is doing the show Shelter Shorts, and it's also a benefit for animal shelters. I know a lot about that. I know people in Animals Best Friends. I know people in PAWS. I know people in other organizations. What's the name of yours?
I work for Wayside Waves.
Wayside Waves.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, for about 2 years. And in that time, I've just learned a lot that I did not know went on in shelters. So I kind of wanted to bring a fun educational experience to the KC audience and also help these shelters in town. So it will be a benefit for KC Pet Project, Great Plains, SPCA, and Wayside Waves.
Yeah. Well, tell us about Shelter Shorts. Is it comedy things that happen at a shelter?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You put dogs and cats anywhere with people, and there's going to be some comedy that comes out for sure. Yeah. So it's 12 standalone scenes that kind of take you through the arc of a journey of an animal going through the shelter process. So from admissions to waiting for an adoption to the adoption to sometimes, unfortunately, being surrendered back to a shelter. So it's going to show the ups and the downs, but I think it's going to maybe open some eyes to a little bit more what goes on in shelters.
And when you sat down to write it, did you want to do a good mix of happy things?
Exactly.
Not so
yeah,
happy things?
Yeah. You know, life has the good and the bad, and I think those need to be equally represented. There is going to be some talk about euthanizations, which is going to be something that parents want to be aware of because this is a family-friendly show, but that's going to be a discussion that they're going to want to have. That you know, sometimes these things happen. And there are reasons, and it's never taken very lightly.
Sure. Sometimes it's more humane to let that happen.
Yeah. But the show does start with a bang. It starts with a West Side Story dance number versus cats and dogs. So definitely, like you would see in the opening number of West Side Story, the musical, it's just cats and dogs. So I think that'll set the tone for the evening for the most part.
Oh, I hope so. Yeah. So music involved too then?
No, just that bit. Oh. So it's just going to be some good old acting and some movement scenes. And I do have a special performer that I took great pains to contract for this show. His name is Samson. He is a humane education dog at Wayside Waifs. He is a beautiful boxer, so he's got these great droopy cheeks. But he will be coming on during the show for a few scenes as well.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Time, place?
Yes. Shelter Shorts will be at the Unicorn Theater, the Jerome Stage. Our first performance is Saturday the 22nd at 8 p.m. Other performances, Monday the 24th at 6:30, Wednesday the 26th at 9:30, Thursday the 27th, 6:30 again, Friday the 28th at 8 p.m., and Saturday as our closing performance at 6:30 p.m.
Okay, thank you, Shay.
Thank you.
More information or repeat of the information that Shay just said, kcfringe.org. The name of the show, Shelter Shorts, a benefit for animal shelters. Her name, Shay Ketchum. Thank you, Shay. Ryan Haruza, am I even close?
Yep, you're spot on, sir.
You're involved with two shows, and actually a third one we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
The first one you gave me was KCIC Classics,
and correct. The
second one, Fountain City. Let's talk about that. Is it basically improv and sketches and things like that, Ryan?
Yeah, so these are both shows that are being put on by the KC Improv Company. And so the KCIC Classics is kind of an offering, a smorgasbord, if you will, of all the different long-form improv formats that we do, as well as the short-form format games that we do. So in each one of the KCIC Classics shows, you can see short-form games like Whose Line Is It Anyway style. That used to be on ABC, if you're familiar with that. And then you'll also see a 30-minute kind of improvised one-act type thing, where improvised Shakespeare, we have improvised musicals, we have improvised murder mysteries, we have Bemused, which is where there's a local visual artist coming in, they paint while we improv, and then we do improv off of their paintings that they show off, and then at the end they paint while we're improvising, and then we show that work at the end of the show. It's really crazy and super fringy. And then the Fountain City Sketch Show, we've been doing that for 6 seasons, where we have company members. We have over 35 company members in the KC Improv Company, and we get together and we write sketches. We rehearse them, we block them, we tech them, and then we put them up for the 6 seasons. So this show at Fringe is a culmination of all those and the best sketches that we produce and put them into a 60-minute show. So there's things like kids asking questions that they shouldn't be asking. There's Facebook statuses as slam poetry. There's crazy, wacky characters. There's music and songs and dance and everything you could ever want on one stage for 60 minutes.
So
it's a lot of comedy, and we normally perform at the Kick Comedy Theater in Westport. But this year at Fringe, we're going to be at the Musical Theater Heritage Stage 2, so down in the Crown Center.
Oh, yeah, you're going fancy.
Yeah.
You're going upscale.
Right, yeah. You can get Sheridans and then go watch an improv show. So we are performing there, and both of our shows are there, different times, obviously. That would be confusing if they're at the same time. So we start Saturday, July 22nd. 9 o'clock is the KCIC Classic start. And then Friday, July 21st at 10:30 as the first performance of Fountain City Sketch. So you can find all the information on fringekc.org, and we also have it posted on our website at kcimprov.com.
kcimprov.com. You're with KC at Improv, and you usually perform in Westport at, what did you say, Buffalo Room?
At the Kick Comedy Theater. The Westport Coffee House Theater there.
Okay, that's downstairs at the Westport Coffee House.
It is, yes.
For those of you that don't know. And you usually perform KC Improv?
Yes, I'm a performer there and a director, and also the general manager and the marketing director. So wear a lot of hats.
Well, you do a lot of, yeah. And he's wearing one right now.
Right, I am, and it's on backwards, so you know I'm cool. Yes.
Okay. So once again, the name, the places, and the times of both of your things.
Yes, they're musical Musical Theater Heritage Stage 2. The KCIC Classics are Saturday, July 22nd at 9 o'clock p.m. and the 23rd at 1:30, the 26th at 7:30, 27th at 9, 29th at 6, and then the Fountain City Sketch is the 21st at 10:30, 22nd at 7:30, 28th at 6 o'clock, and 29th at 10:30. Yeah. You got all that. We'll see you there.
And if you didn't catch that, go to the Fringe website.
KCFringe.org or KCImprov.com. All right. Thank you very much, Ryan. Okay. We need to move now to Emily Swenson. You are here. The name of her show is, I have my finger by the button for my own language, Walls Suck. but no, it is a non-traditional relationship show.
Yes, absolutely. I am fascinated by humans' capacity for love. And what I'm putting on stage is basically a family kitchen sink drama, but the family is like nothing you've seen on stage in Kansas City before. It's two men and a woman in a long-term relationship, and the woman wants to bring her girlfriend to live with them. But this is a fun show. It's not all drama. They, you know, face the world together, argue about whether or not Beyonce's a feminist, and there's some fun cooking outfits that go on as well. But it's really I think an opportunity for audiences to shed some of their doubts about non-traditional relationships and polyamory, and to see these people who love each other work it out. You know, it's about communication. It's about sacrificing things for love, and that sort of thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. It's becoming more and more prevalent around. I knew two couples who shared a house together, and they had other people rent other rooms. It was a pretty big house, but they shared things. You know, they had a pool. Things that they wouldn't have had they not shared the quarters like they did.
Absolutely. I think that at the heart of polyamory, a lot of times, is that you have the ability to love people in a way that's natural for you, and you don't have to provide everything a person needs in their love life, you know? and Andy, played by Casey Jane, is sort of at the heart of this relationship, and she has a beautiful speech about how each person is something different to her, and it's kind of heartwarming to me.
This would be hard to market, I would think. What have you done besides come on this show?
Well, I've done a lot of social media posts and things like that. I've tried to go around to some LGBT groups and leave postcards and talk mm-hmm. to people about that. But it's kind of weird because it is its own community. You know,
it is.
But I want to interject here. And our audiences, the Fringe audience, I think, are very open and willing to explore. And it's one of the things that I love most about Fringe is walking out of a show going, oh, my goodness, I hadn't thought about it that way before. So it's a way to educate and inform.
Absolutely.
Okay, where and when, Emily?
This is going to be at the Unicorn Theater on the Levin Stage, Friday, July 21st at 10:30 p.m., Tuesday, July 25th at 6 p.m., Friday, July 28th at 7:30 p.m., and Saturday, July 29th at 6 p.m.
Okay, and do you have a website beside the Fringe website you want to throw out there?
No, I just have a Facebook event.
Okay, you wrote this yourself?
I did. I've been working on it for 10 months. I've done hundreds of hours of research, and it's something I'm very passionate about. So.
I bet so. Okay, once again, the time and place.
Unicorn Theater, Levin Stage, Friday, July 21st, 10:30 p.m., Tuesday, July 25th, 6 p.m., Friday, July 28th, 7:30 p.m., Saturday, July 29th at 6 p.m.
Thank you very much.
Emily
Swenson. Walls Suck. She's not talking physically. She's more talking mental, I think. In this sense. Thank you very much. Colin Sandahl is with us. Ready or not. I wrote down musical. Did you tell me it was a musical?
Yes, absolutely.
Tell me about it, Ryan.
Yeah.
Colin.
Yes.
You got too many people here.
No, I understand. Actually, Ryan is involved in it, too. He's a director, so another hat Ryan's wearing on it. So, no, this is Ready or Not is a musical that I've been working on for, I'd say about the last 10 months or so. Kind of living and breathing it for a while, but it's a musical completely written all by me, and it is it's the story of a couple. It's two people that are in a very comfortable relationship. They've been married for 5 years, and they suddenly discover they're pregnant,
which is kind of in their plan, and then things start to happen, and it becomes a very complicated kind of a pregnancy, and they, it's more about how the couple kind of learns who each other is and what they mean to together, and how to, you know, how to cope with that kind of a thing, and it's been a lot of fun working on it with the other actor, and it is Kelsey Victoria McLean, and she is just phenomenal. She takes my little songs that I wrote, and she makes them sound like art. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is crazy. So it's been a lot of fun, a crazy process all the way through. But
basic premise of the show is
just the couple dealing with a troubling, complicated pregnancy.
Okay. Troubled, yeah. Complicated pregnancy. Yeah. Does that mean that both don't want it?
No, actually, they're both excited for it, but several things happen, but one of the first complications is, oh, by the way, surprise, it's twins.
Oh, so, well, that would be a surprise.
Yeah, their comfortable life that they have is suddenly getting thrown for a loop, and it's actually based, not to spoil anything, but it's based actually on my personal experience with my wife and I giving birth to our twins, and during the time it was happening, we didn't really we didn't really broadcast everything going on, because we kind of kept it personal and close to the chest, and now that it's all over with, this is kind of my release. I get to finally say, here's what we've went through.
So all along, you were thinking, one day,
yeah,
I'm
right,
gonna write this up.
I think all along, I was just strapping on, just hoping to make it to the end. And yeah,
sounds very interesting. Yeah. Where and when?
We are at the Buffalo Room this year.
Uh-huh. Now, that is at the Westport Flea Market.
Yes, back at the Westport Flea Market there. And we open Saturday night, July 22nd at 6 p.m. We'll be Wednesday, July 26th at 6 p.m., Friday the 28th at 10 p.m., and then the final Saturday, the 29th, at 4 p.m.
The Westport at the Westport Flea Market. It's in the very back.
Yep.
Should they park in the back of the
flea market? Yeah, I would say park around the back there. And doors for our show open 30 minutes early to allow you to come in and kind of get settled, get a drink, and maybe some food.
Yeah, too, relationship so. Drama with some comedy sprinkled in
yes.
there. And music.
Yeah, I would describe it that way exactly. So okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Colin. It's called Ready or Not, and I guess apparently not in, in yeah. Colin's case. Thank yep. you, Colin Sandell.
Thank you.
Ready or Not. All right. We have two people this time. I'm ready. Louis Morrow and Megan Hope. Their show is called My White Son. When I first talked to him about it, I said, well, that sounds very serious. Very serious show about, perhaps racial things going on here. But he says, oh, no, it's comedy.
It's definitely a comedy. It does have very serious undertones. I think there are points in the play where it's just as serious as it is funny, and it gets very silly, but it gets very serious at times too. But of course, with the name of the show, you know, there is it's gonna talk a little bit about some of the racial kind of racism. It delves into racism and sexism within kind of the entertainment industry, stereotypes and cliches that get put on actors, actresses. And it's a show within a show, and so the play takes place on this set of this very 80s-esque cheesy sitcom titled My White Son. And so all the actors are a little bit less than enthused about it. But we do have a director who's very enthused about it. And when I say we, the show, there's a director who's pushing them all to strive forward. But, yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Also with him is Megan Hope. You have a role in the show?
I do. I'm actually playing his wife in the show within the show, and we together have our white son. But within the actual overall Fringe show, I am a black actress in Hollywood. This show that we are on, the sitcom, is kind of like a stepping stone for me. I don't want to give too much of the show away, but it's, like he mentioned before, something that I'm not entirely enthused about. I have encountered many issues within the industry when it comes to both racism and sexism, being a black female. But then I also am looking forward to the future and being able to make something better of myself within this character. Sure. So.
You know, it's been my experience. There's nothing that showbiz people like better is a show within a show. Harking back, you know, to doing Cyrano and the one it was paired with. People love to do that. A little bit of behind the scenes, a little bit of in front of the scenes, and they like to switch places.
Right? That's the goal, yeah. I think that's the most fun is... The actor that I'm in it that's playing this actor is completely different from myself, which is completely different from the actor I'm playing. So it's like, it's you know, I get to do two different things, and it's you know, it's pretty fun. We're having a good time with it.
Okay, where and when, folks?
So we're going to be at the Arts Asylum.
Arts Asylum. The new home of the Barn Players, incidentally.
Yeah, it's good. And they've done some renovations. It looks really, really good in there. I mean, it looks really phenomenal. A lot of seating. And we open actually this Friday, 6 p.m. So July 21st, 6 p.m. July 22nd, 9 p.m. And then we come back the following weekend on July 28th at 7:30 p.m. And then July 29th at 7:30 p.m. So we've got Friday, Saturday this week and Friday, Saturday next weekend at the Arts Asylum.
Yeah, anything else you'd like to say?
No, I'm just excited. This is my debut, I guess, with The Fringe, and I'm excited to be a part of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. And you notice some of these shows are at the same time. I've noticed that, but you can see both.
Yeah.
Because there's a staggering of schedule.
Yep.
Just look on The Fringe website at kcfringe.org for all of that. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Louis Morrow and Megan Hope, their show, My White Son, at the Arts Asylum. Hey, we're going to bring back Ryan Haruza.
Hey!
Once again. He is sitting in for Vitran, who is also involved in the show. This one is called Will the Circle. It's a folk musical?
Yes, it is a folk musical, and it debuted at the Chicago Musical Festival, I believe it was last year. And so this is kind of an edited version of it, and cut down for time to fit into the 60-minute slot version with different actors, with a different take as far as V has said, because he directed in Chicago as well. So V is the director, and it focuses on this group of friends, and there's five people in total, and they're at a block party, and they don't really fit into the block party because they don't, they're kind of like musicians and artists, and they don't own property and don't have children, so they don't fit in with the slip and slides and the inflatable bouncy castles. So they're kind of lone outliers on their stoop, and it's about life and love and liberty and the pursuit of happiness, all kind of told and woven through with a bunch of really awesome, like, folk style songs, like the classic style of folk stuff. And
cause original songs?
Yep, they're all original songs by Elsie Bernadine and Kevin Welch, are the writers of it. And it's a really fun show to be a part of, and V has kind of been steering the ship for us, and it's a really great group of actors, and the songs are all really, because it's Will the Circle, and so it's like a Will the Circle with a question, but also Will the Circle be Unbroken?
Sure.
So it's a double pun. And so it's kind of that style, and the music is really great, and it's all the harmonies are super tight and a lot of talented people in it. Yeah, and it's a folk musical comedy. So there are some touching moments, but for the most part, it's hilarious. And so it's at the Buffalo Room, which is at the back of the Westport Flea Market. And we have performances starting on July 21st at 8 o'clock, and then July 24th at 8 o'clock, and then July 27th at 6 o'clock, and finally July 29th, that Saturday, at 8 o'clock. And the house opens 30 minutes early, so you can have a cocktail and have some get some great food from the Westport Flea Market and then watch a great show.
Okay, thank you very much. Ryan Haruza, Will the Circle, the pun, as he said, Will the Circle Be Unbroken, a song made famous by Johnny Cash.
Yep.
So thanks so much for that. That'll also be at the Buffalo Room.
Correct,
in Black of the Westport. A folk musical. If you enjoyed Dr. Mike's show preceding mine, you'll probably like that as well, it sounds like. Thank you so much, Ryan Haruza. Well, you have, and this is only a small fraction, Cheryl,
correct,
of the lineup you have going on.
There's never a dull moment, and there is something for everyone. We have all-ages show, parental guidance shows, and mature audience shows. So if you've never been to Fringe before and want to explore this, the best way is to come to the Folly Theater Thursday night. We start our red carpet at 5:30, where we introduce our artists and bring them in and excuse me, have photo opportunities. And then 7 o'clock teaser start. 50 of the 100 shows will do back-to-back two-minute teasers.
Wow.
It's a great way.
It's even faster than on this show.
Yes. Right? And it's a great way to say, ooh, I really like that, or that one's not so much my style, because there really is something for everyone. We have youth fringe, we have teen fringe, we have visual art. Our gallery at Union Station opens Sunday, so come by and see the 32 visual artists at Union Station. We'll open up our second gallery, Fringe with Benefits, at just off Broadway in the Penn Valley Room, and that's the art that is censored from Union Station, so check that out. And then youth, if you have kids or know of anyone with kids, Friday night at the library at 6 o'clock, we have a clown show in the Truman Forum. On Saturday, on Sunday afternoon, the 23rd, from 1 to 5, are workshops that are all free for kids and families. So come to the Plaza Library. Saturday night, the 22nd, is Teen Open Mic at the Plaza Library. And this year we have a new collaboration with Kansas City Young Audiences. Starting the 23rd through the 29th, we have teen performances by teens, for teens, and families at Kansas City Young Audiences' new space on Main. So check that out. And then, you know there's lots to share here, Sunday the 30th is the best of. So throughout the festival, we track every night the average attendance of each show. And the show that gets the best average attendance gets a bonus show on Sunday the 30th. So as we know, as those surface, we'll announce those, but there are many that we will not be able to announce until midnight on Saturday the 29th.
Probably not.
So you can take potluck and see what happens on Sunday, but it will be tons of fun. We're also adding a new late night format. Union Station, which is our home, has added a new outdoor space, and we'll be doing bands and brews, sponsored by Schlafly Beer, on Friday and Saturday night each weekend.
Yeah, there's a lot. You have a lot going on.
Tons going on.
On your plate.
And I want to recap that you can get all your questions answered going to our 411, Fringe 411, on the theater level of Union Station. We open at noon every day and close at 6 weekdays and 8 on weekends.
KCFringe.org. I guess you can buy tickets online. You can buy tickets at the venue. But they have to have a Fringe button,
yes,
Cheryl.
And they can get that button. They can get that at the Folly Thursday night at Union Station or at any of the venues prior to the show. Also, we have a mobile app. And you will be able to go on your mobile app, your Fringe mobile app, and rate the shows once you see them. So on the show page, you'll be able to rate them with stars, 1 to 5.
Yeah.
So share your opinion.
Sounds exciting. 13th year going
yes.
on.
Doesn't seem possible.
For you, no. This has been, it's a labor of love, I'm sure, but it's also been very, it took you a while, I guess, to build this, and it's really gotten big.
And we just keep growing and adding more components. Also, I skipped over another teen component that we've been partnering with the Coterie for the last 5 years. On the final Saturday, we have a teen playwriting workshop. So if you know of any teens that are aspiring writers, it's a wonderful opportunity. It's $10 for the day. Go to the website, go to the teen page, click on teen playwriting. And if you know somebody who you think would want to participate, but the $10 may be a hindrance, just email me at info@kcfringe.org, and we'll take care of that.
Okay. I want to thank all of you. Cheryl Kimmy, she is the executive producer of the Kansas City Fringe Festival. She has a fine staff that helps her out.
All volunteer.
All volunteer staff. And I want to thank the guests, Shay Ketchum, Ryan Haruza, Emily Swenson, Colin Sandahl, Louis Morrow, Megan Hope, and of course Cheryl for coming on the show today. This is only a small fraction of what you can see at the Fringe, which will run the 20th. Through the 30th, 11 days, and the 20th is Thursday?
Yes.
Thursday.
Michael, thank you for having us all on.
You're so welcome. Thanks
so
much.
We
appreciate it. KCFringe.org. Much more information on that. Thank you very much. We're going to take a break. When we come back, I won't have to talk nearly as fast, but I'll still have to talk fast as we talk to some of the people from the Raytown Arts Council production of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Interesting authorship to that, and we'll be talking about that when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI, 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hoag, your host. Catching my breath here before we move on. The Fringe is always a big event, but there are others going on. Shows that we've interviewed about in previous weeks, they're still going on. Lots of things happening indoors and outdoors. Raytown has theirs indoors, so it's probably a break for the actors. They probably get a few more at auditions just because they're inside rather than outside. And we're going to talk to the people from the Raytown Arts Council. They are doing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, a show I haven't seen in a number of years. And I always found it ironic because the author, Ian Fleming, who wrote the James Bond books of all things. So, but there is a spy element in this story, and fast cars are involved, so it kind of fits in that respect. But it's always a surprise that he would write something like that. Sharon Probst is with us. She is, I didn't know quite what title to give her, so I just wrote down actress, publicist, and plays the role of Miss Phillips in the show as well. You're back once again for, how many times have you done Raytown?
I've been involved with the Raytown Arts Council for 10 years.
10 years. And she's also involved with, the Out East,
River
Lexington.
City Players.
Yeah, that's in Lexington, Missouri. Yes, they came all the way from Lexington to be on my show. I think they had fun.
Absolutely.
I'll always remember talking with the lady who worked at a radio station out there and did traffic, and I kidded her about, did she fly in the helicopter? And she didn't know quite what to make of that, but of course traffic is the commercial flow through a radio station. But you have quite a crew here. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Do most people not realize the significance of the show? It's all in fun. It was a Disney movie, of course.
It was, yes, with Dick Van Dyke originally in the movie.
Uh-huh.
And this is our 20th year anniversary, so we wanted to do a big show, and this is something that hasn't really been done around town, I mean, with the exception, I think, of Starlight a couple years ago. So it's a fun show. It kind of parallels Mary Poppins.
Do you want to get into the car thing, or is that too complicated?
That's way too complicated.
Okay.
We have a car.
A car is
it's all
a show.
Good.
It's all good.
Yes.
Not as good as the Aston Martins driven by James Bond.
Yes.
You wonder what Ian Fleming had in mind when he wrote this. I'm sure he had some fun in mind.
Well, I hope so, because it is a fun car.
Okay. Do you want to talk about your character first, or do you want to wait until later on?
Well, I can pop in there if you
like.
I play Miss Phillips, and she is the lovely assistant to Lord Scrumptious, who is the candy king in the show. And so I kind of make sure that we keep on time and make candy and keep him on his toes.
Is he a good boss?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Oh, okay. He's not like Blofeld. I'm always looking for comparisons. I always look for comparisons because authors often write, they have something else in mind, very deep inside in the psyche.
Well, I mean, he's sitting right here. I can't say bad things about my boss, so.
But he's a good guy.
Yes, absolutely.
He's absolutely good. Well, let's examine some of the other ones and let's delve deeply into this. Kevin Thomas is with us. He plays the role of Mr. Coggins. Tell us about Mr. Coggins, how he fits in.
Well, it's a pleasure being here. Mr. Coggins is actually the owner of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and this character appears in the first scene along with just about everybody else. And he owns a garage. And Caracatus Potts and the two children, they appear at my garage. And Mr. Potts needs a bushing for some device, I suppose, back home. It has to be brass. So there's an exchange between Mr. Potts and me and the children about the car. And there's a junk man that appears, and he wants to buy it. The car is in rather, well, it's pretty much in deplorable condition. And so there's an exchange there, and ultimately I price the car for 30 shillings. And the story goes on, and a major part of the story deals with him being able to obtain the 30 shillings to buy the car for his two children, who just absolutely fell in love with the vehicle.
Yeah. What is so special about this car?
That's a very good question. Because it really doesn't become special until later in the show, past scene one. So
yes.
The kids,
it's
just
magical.
It is. Well, yeah, something magical. The kids fell in love with it.
Kids fell in love with the car. David Fast is with us as well. He plays the role of Baron Bomverst.
Yes.
And is he the counterpart to Blofeld, perhaps, in this show?
No. I'm a good guy.
Oh, my.
Yeah,
people ride in patterns, so just thought I'd ask. You've been in shows in Raytown in the past.
Yes.
You've been here before, in fact.
Yes,
on
I have.
Show.
I have, yes.
Just give them a summary of the roles you've played.
Oh, gosh. I've been with Raytown about 15 years. I've been everything from I can't even think now.
Well, you were the wizard.
I was the wizard, yes. In the Wizard of Oz. And,
now, there's a Blofeld if I ever saw
that. Yeah, yeah. That was a fun show. I was Alfie Doolittle in the very first show I did was My Fair Lady. I was Alfie Doolittle, so I've had some fun roles.
Yeah. The Baron is... what kind of a guy is he? What motivates the Baron?
Well, the Baron is... He pretty much wants whatever he wants and gets whatever he wants. And one of the things he wants is the car. Now, he wants it because basically it was a famous race car in its younger days. And he is, you know, he wants it so that it can become his race car because he's tired of losing races. And along the way, he sets his spies out to track down the car. And along the way, they find out, well, this car now has much more interesting features than just being able to drive fast. It floats and it flies. And so he just gets more excited all the time thinking that this is going to become his car. And he's not going to pay 30 shillings for it. He just wants it. He's just going to ride out, steal it, or have some.
Not even 30 shillings.
No. He's going to do whatever it takes to get it. But you know,
world domination.
Yeah,
okay, for sure.
but he's lovable also. So you know.
Well, hey, Jesse James is very lovable.
That's right.
Especially Frank.
Yeah.
Frank was very well thought of.
Okay. All misunderstood.
Right. Yeah, misunderstood, yes.
Joe Bartlett plays the role of Boris. Now, if there was ever an Ian Fleming name that would be appropriate, it would be Boris.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Okay, lean closer to one of the mics
sure,
so we can see you. And tell us about Boris and how he fits into the story. Pull the mic right up to your mouth.
The character Boris and his counterpart, Goran, we were both spies commissioned by the Bulgarian embassy, I suppose you would say, to acquire the car. That's our big goal in the part. So we spend a lot of time, our characters, figuring out different ways of capturing the car and with varying levels of bad, I would say probably not very good success rate. That's all. And by the time we do actually figure out what we need to do, we actually end up capturing the wrong person anyway. And so it's really, you know, we really have a lot of the first act is our characters, trying to acquire the car and not doing a very competent job at it.
Well, I'm just teasing the audience now, but what is there about this car that you want it so badly?
Well, I don't think that we particularly want the car. It's because the Baron wants the car. We're threatened with our lives if we don't capture the car. Uh-huh. So it's a very personal motivation on our part to... we don't particularly want to be flogged and killed, so that's a lot of what our characters are about. So,
well, the motivation not wanting to be flogged or killed would be pretty high.
And just to be clear, that's my wife that's going to do the flogging and killing. I don't do that, but it's the Baroness. So,
well,
it's also the Baron's birthday, so the Baroness is attempting to acquire this car for his birthday.
Yeah, this is my birthday present.
Yes,
makes more sense now. People would go to great lengths for their birthday.
Yeah.
That's right. Pete Burney plays the role of Lord Scrumptious. Sounds delicious. So you're the candy baron.
Yes, I'm the candy magnet. I have a candy empire. And so Caracatus Potts, in an effort to raise money to buy the car, he's an inventor, and he brings some candy that he's been working on. That's what makes it special is it has holes in it. When you blow on the candy, it makes a noise. So, and along the way, I'm Lord Scrumptious, and he meets my daughter, who is Truly Scrumptious. And
is that her name, Truly?
And that's her name in the Bond tradition, yes.
Yes.
It is in the Bond tradition.
So that's where I come into it. He and my daughter are falling in love, but before they can really fall in love, they have to go on this adventure with the spies after them, and they're after the spies, and there's kidnappings and threats, and the car has to do its magical things, and that's kind of how that goes. And I'm just all of us are really sort of over-the-top characters. there's nothing pedestrian about any of these characters, the spies or anyone, and I get to be that, so that's fun.
Yeah. It's an interesting show. It's a lot of fun show. What about, I should say special effects. It's a stage show, so special effects are probably not the best way to characterize it. But the costuming, the things that have to... The car flies
yes.
in the movie. Obviously, you don't do that.
Well, the car does have some special features that uh-huh. make it give the illusion. And we are doing something new for our production this year. We're using some animated... backdrops instead of having the traditional backdrops that come down and go back up again. It's all projection, and so it's something new, and it's been very cool.
Is that a challenge for the tech people?
It is a challenge technically, but the results are just really amazing. We're in a space that doesn't have a fly space, and so you kind of have to adapt to your environment, and this was a perfect solution for the space we're at Raytown South High School.
Mm. Now, for the second time, at least the second time that I'm aware, it's not at the regular, it's not at Raytown High School on Blue Ridge, it's at Raytown South High School.
Yes.
Which is at 350 Highway in Gregory.
Well, actually, it's at 8211 Sterling, right off of 350 Highway. You can see the football field and stuff from the highway.
It's right off 350, but it's probably a mile east of Gregory, maybe more.
Okay.
I think you're talking about where we get the tickets and stuff at Hy-Vee.
Sure. At Hy-Vee. Hy-Vee Stores is one of the places that sell the tickets
yes,
for you.
Just that.
To go there and buy the tickets.
The Raytown one, yeah.
At the Raytown. Now, that is at 8211 Sterling Avenue.
That's the high school.
That's the high school.
That's the high school. All right. And Hy-Vee. Well, I wrote that down, brother. Okay. Hy-Vee is where?
350 in Gregory.
Okay. Raytown Hy-Vee is at 350 in Gregory, and Raytown South High School is at 8211 Sterling Avenue. If you MapQuest things, that's probably the most simplest way to do it.
Yes.
You need the zip code 64138 for that. Now, you can buy tickets at your Raytown area Hy-Vee store, online at RaytownArts.com. And I suppose walk up to the door if
at the door.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yeah. Do you expect that might be problematic? Just walking up, hoping that there'll be a ticket available.
I don't think so. The space at the Raytown South, I think they have 1,000 seats, and at Raytown High School, it's only 750. So we'll be able to accommodate the crowds, and hopefully, everyone will come out and check.
Yeah,
it out.
I remember seeing The Sound of Music at Raytown South High School. A few years back, anyway.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that's a pretty good space there as well. You're in there for the second time.
Yes. Yeah. We did, last show we did there was Kiss Me, Kate.
Actually, there has been a third show there as well. We did Hello, Dolly a handful of years back that I was fortunate enough to be a cast member.
You've been in a lot of shows, Kevin, at Raytown?
I've been involved with the Arts Council and doing shows going back to about 2009. Had the opportunity to portray President Roosevelt and Annie, and cast members in Hello, Dolly, Cinderella, Wizard of Oz.
So you've been in quite a few of them. Mm-hmm. An active member of the Arts Council, did you say?
I'm going to say I am, insofar as the theatrical productions show.
Yeah, it's my understanding you do one musical a year in the summer, but there are also other arts-type events, like art shows, things like that, that the council does?
Well, we have a lot of musical ensembles that we support, and unfortunately the art show has kind of gone away. But we do a veterans recognition in November. That is co-sponsored with a lot of other entities and the school district. So we have the community band play for that and recognize the veterans. And it's a very nice event.
That's very nice to do. We need to support the veterans more. It's a musical, of course. I should delve somewhat into the music. Some of the songs that people have heard over the years, people don't always connect songs with the show. They know the song. They don't know what show it came from. What are some of the songs that people would connect with that? And if any of you sing those songs, you chime in and talk about that song. But what are some of the big songs that are in the show that people would recognize?
I think the ones that most people would recognize would probably be like Hush by Mountain, which is kind of the big one. Lonely Man, which is Truly's solo. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, of course, which is the main theme, which you'll probably hear 100 different times during the course of the musical. There are a few other songs that are new to the production, like the one I sing, which is Act English, which is kind of a vaudevillian type song. And then there's a few others that are... what would you say? Bomburst and his lovely wife do the Chi Chi Face song, which is also from the movie adaption. Which, but yeah, there's a lot of the Sherman Brothers who also did the Mary Poppins movie. That was kind of the big draw, was that they also did the music for the original movie, and a lot of that was scored in for the current production. So yeah, I mean there's a lot of things that like that. I'm sure there are a couple other songs that I'm forgetting, but those are probably the ones that most people recognize, especially Chitty, which is the huge draw, which everybody. I don't think
first
we actually.
The Bombay Samba.
Well, yeah, that's a new song as well. Yeah. So that wasn't in the musical, but definitely it's a fun song to do. It's in second act. So
absolutely. Yeah, is it fun to do? Well, I should retract for a second. You have a musical director. Probably should give credit.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, David Rogers is joining us. He directed last summer as well for Music Man, and he's come back and directed again for music direction.
And it's a volunteer orchestra or band.
Yes, and Eric Eckhoff is directing the orchestra this summer again for I think his third or fourth time around. So he's doing a great job with the orchestra. It's really nice to have live musicians with the show.
You know. Is there dancing along with singing in
Absolutely.
The show?
Yes. Jennifer Abbott is our choreographer, and she's done an amazing job. Very creative dance numbers and stuff. I think the audience will enjoy.
I would think another big challenge would be costuming. For the era that it's set in, the costuming would be important. For instance, David, what kind of costume do they put you in?
Well,
the Baron has to be a fancy dresser.
I have one coat. Yes, that is. I think it's probably the costume of all costumes. I've given it a name because it weighs about as much as I do, and it's very large and it's. It takes up the whole room. When I walk into the room, you know it because that costume's there. It's a big coat. It's got puffy sleeves. I kind of look like Henry VIII in it. So
it looks great.
And it weighs a ton. So
very colorful, though.
It's very colorful. And I will probably lose about 20 pounds after sweating in it for, you know, 6 performances. So, yeah. So that it's my favorite.
And I said before that it's very over the top. When I, as Lord Scrumptious, come on, I'm wearing a suit that might have come out of one of the Batman movies or a Jim Carrey movie. It's I love it, but I would have never bought it. And but it's just kind of wild, and the Baron is kind of wild, and
it's not easy being green, Pete.
Yes, it's not easy being green. So it's beautiful costumes.
Yeah. What is the biggest challenge of this? People have seen the movie. They expect it to be like the movie. I suppose to a degree it is like the movie. But your director, what can your director do to perhaps put their own mark on things?
Well, I think our director is David Lush, and he's really very much an actor's director, and, you know, has a very... detailed idea of what he wants the show to look like, and he doesn't want to personalize it to, you know, it's our particular show, and I think he has done a lot to make that happen, and he has a very succinct idea of how he wants everything to look, costumes, performance, music, and then kind of ties all that together. So.
But I would assume that, you know, if you have kids who have seen the movie on the Disney Channel or on cable, it probably plays all the time. They all do.
Yes.
They all recirculate, even all of the old movies. They can expect it to be pretty much in the vein of that.
Well, yes. I mean, when you do something that's been made into a movie, that's people tend to expect to kind of see the movie, and you... You want to do that to some degree, but you also want to have your own kind of artistic take on it as well.
Sure.
And there's some things that we can't do in just one space that, you know, on a movie set where you can film on multiple locations, it's a lot easier to take care of. It's as well as the timing and stuff.
Yes, but I'm sure you would agree with me. Theater is the imagination.
Absolutely.
That's right.
In the Ian Fleming tradition, we probably would be remiss if we didn't mention probably the most sinister antagonist in the show, and that would be the Child Catcher.
Oh.
There is a very sinister character, and she catches children and puts them in the sewer under the castle there in Bulgaria.
Yes. In the sewer.
But trust me, the children prevail.
Oh, I bet so.
Yes.
True Ian Fleming tradition, of
yes.
course.
Yes.
Show opens on, I have the dates here, on the 21st and at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue on the 22nd at 7:30. Then on Sunday, the 23rd at 2 o'clock p.m. And then they do it all over again the next weekend, the 28th at 7:30, the 29th at 7:30. And on July 30th on Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m. at Raytown South High School. I'm going to do it better this time. 8211 Sterling Avenue. If you MapQuest, the zip code is most helpful in doing that. That is 64138. Tickets can be obtained through their website, RaytownArts.com, online at that time. Also at the Raytown Hy-Vee store at 350 Highway and Gregory. I guess you just go up to the front where you buy the stamps and things like
that. Right, the customer service area. They'll help you.
And they'll help you by that. Or at the door if they're available. Mm-hmm. Do you expect big crowds, though?
We hope so.
Yeah.
We do hope so.
To see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Also written by Ian Fleming. You've heard, if you didn't catch the very first part of the interview, amongst the Bond books he wrote, and other books as well, he wrote Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, and people often wonder why. But obviously there was something in his mind that he had to say.
Actually, he wrote it for his son, Christopher. That's who he wrote it for. But I think, if I remember right, there was something about he wrote the book, but I think he died before it was published.
Yes,
or
he passed away
like
before it was published.
Yeah, so.
And Roald Dahl wrote the screenplay for the movie.
Yeah.
Who wrote a lot of children's books.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. I just assumed that it was his way of having the kind of fun he maybe couldn't have with the Bond books. So he just made these characters a little more colorful as they were. Yeah. Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, opening this Friday at Raytown South High School, a production of the Raytown Arts Council. Online at RaytownArts.com. And also, tickets can be had at Raytown Hy-Vee, 350 Highway. And Gregory, I want to thank all of you for being with us
on
the
show
today.
Thank you.
Thank you for
having
us.
Tell us about this summer musical. They've had a bunch at Raytown over the years, and
yes.
There's still another one. Sharon Probst, actress, publicist, plays the role of Miss Phillips in the show. Kevin Thomas, who plays the role of Mr. Coggins. David Fast, who plays the role of Baron Baumwurst. Joe Bartlett, who plays the role of Boris, and Pete Burney, who plays the role of Lord Scrumptious, the Candy Baron, in the Raytown Arts Council production of Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Thanks so much for being with us today. Haven't we had a number of people in the studio today?
Yes.
It's been quite a busy day. But Mark is next. Mark sitting in for the insider. Okay, Mark, but I'm sure nothing will change. I'm sure his instructions are solid. Only the best jazz. We'll have jazz from 1 to 3. We'll have the blues from 3 to 6 right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at the Cross in the Road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.